The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 114 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, he is Ewan Cameron. How you doing, Ewan? You okay? You have a good weekend?
I did have a great weekend. I'll get to that in just a second. Even though Hearts lost yesterday, I still had a really good weekend. Love Saturday, the cup final yesterday. It's one of the best cup finals I have seen in a long, 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 long time. I'm trying to think of a cup final that comes even close to the drama we had yesterday.
Me and my mates were speaking about this yesterday. I think probably the Hibs-Rangers 2016 cup final, I think probably is the
3-2 game.
The 3-2 game was sort of back and forth. And
118th minute winner.
Had loads of incidents and all the rest of it.
And
so
everything that went with the history involving Hibs, 1902 when they'd last won it.
1902, yeah. So listen, it was an absolutely cracking game, and we will obviously speak about everything that happened in that game at length a little bit later on in the podcast.
How was your weekend?
Mixed.
Mixed. Well, we had, see, on Saturday with the big Saturday football show.
Great show on Saturday.
A brilliant
loved
show.
It.
Right,
absolutely
good laugh.
Loved
the
it.
Reaction was great. The interaction was great. And I actually left the building skipping.
So I honestly was the same as you. I was like, what a great show we've just
we
come out.
We skipped
out
together.
We did actually.
You
yeah.
went to the right to go down the elevator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I went to the left to go down the escalator.
Exactly.
And we waved at each other.
We did. We were like, see you on Monday.
See you on Monday. Bye. Enjoy your weekend, mate.
And then I got home and all hell broke loose. Because remember, we were chatting. We didn't actually speak about this on the show, but off air, we were chatting about what we're having for our tea. So Steve Cowan, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker, was having a Chinese on Saturday night.
He was.
You were having baked potatoes on Saturday night.
Love a baked potato, and I was having two.
You know, two baked potatoes, great stuff. And I'd made a big pot of mince, right?
Nothing wrong with a pot of mince.
I love mince and tatties.
Had you made it before you got to work?
Yes. So what I did was, on Saturday morning, I got up, I went for my walk, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to go to the butcher's, and I'm going to get some mince.
So you got proper mince?
Aye, I got proper mince.
Did you spend a wee bit more for your mince?
Probably, yeah. I don't know how much it was individually, because I also bought sausages and bacon as well. So I don't know how much it was.
But you went to the butcher's, you got it fresh, they did it for you.
Exactly. I was like, can I have enough mince for four people, right? Because I am four people when it comes to eating. So, got my mince, got my carrots, and then I needed to get like tatties and stuff, and I got some peas because I like peas in my mince.
What kind of peas
like,
are we talking about here?
Just frozen ones.
But I know, but there's different types. You get
petit pois.
You get processed peas, you get different types of peas.
Were
they small?
Small green peas.
Like bright green.
I mean,
like proper garden peas where when you bite
frozen
into them.
Frozen for freshness, I believe they call it.
Yes, and they're very juicy when you bite into them.
Great, yeah.
They're the perfect garden peas.
So I was like, I'm going home. I was like, I'm going to have my mince and tatties. I was like, I need to add my tatties.
So did you make it before coming to work?
I made it before coming to work. All I had to do was add the peas because I don't like adding the peas too early.
So you left it and then you're hoping all the flavours would go all through everything.
Precisely. It wasn't cooking, it was cooked, but I left it on top of the stove. I've got sort of like an island sort of like thing in my kitchen, and that's where the hob is. So I left it on the hob, and I was like, I'm going to make my tatties. I've got cream for my tatties as well. I was like, I'm just going to be indulgent.
Do you know what's good?
I had nice bread as well.
Before you get to the bread, you know what's really good in mashed potatoes? That cheese, that cream cheese.
The cream cheese,
Beaujolais.
Bourgeois.
Garlic, Bourgeois cheese in your mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes, yeah. I would happily have taken that as well, but I thought I'll go for cream. Son, a wee bit indulgent.
What kind of bread did you have?
So there's the butchers, right? Which is just your sort of run of the mill butchers. Like, great butchers, though, great sausages. And there's a fancy bakery a couple of doors down, and I was like, I'll go to the fancy bakery and get some bread. Now, it's not the cheapest, right? But I was like, you know what? I was like, it's for myself. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to get fancy bread. So I got a big loaf of bread.
Like, was it crusty?
Crusty bread, the one you have to like cut yourself and all the rest of it.
So when you cut it, it's like the crust is breaking off.
Great.
And it's crumbly and it's thick and you put butter on it and you dip in your gravy from the mince.
Exactly. Right. I was buzzing to get home and have my mince and tatties.
You've got it all. You're all set.
I basically just had to make the tatties and then put peas in my mince, and then that was it.
There is a butt coming. I can sense it. We can all sense there's a butt.
So I get home, right?
Well, was Anne at home?
Nope, there was nobody in, so it was just me all night. It was just me, and then I opened the door, and I've got a cat, obviously, right? I've spoken about the cat before, and the cat comes to the door.
Is the cat still alive?
The cat is very much still alive, and I get in, and I'm like, God, it smells really like mince in here. Like, And obviously, I've been cooking mince that morning, so I was like, I was expecting a wee sort of mincey.
An aroma
of mince, right?
You'd expect that if you've been cooking it.
You'd expect mince aroma if you'd been cooking mince.
Was there a lid on the mince?
It was a cast iron pot.
With a lid on top. The top.
And it was sitting on the hob. And I get in and I'm like, God, it really smells like mince in here. Like, really strongly of mince. And I get in the front door, and then I have to turn left to go into the kitchen and the living room bit. And as I get, the mince aroma is getting stronger.
Aye.
And then I get in, and there had been an incident. There had, in fact, been a major mince incident. So what had happened?
Is it the cat?
I presume, unless a very, very singular gust of wind has come in and blown this cast iron pot off the hob. I suspect strongly what had happened was the mince aroma was also proving to be quite pleasant for the cat. And the cat had jumped up onto the sort of island.
I need to taste this.
And he had pushed the cast iron pot onto the floor.
Onto the floor!
And when I say there was mince everywhere, there was mince everywhere. It was on the fucking ceiling. It was up the fridge. It was up the cupboards. It was like, you know, in a horror film, a slasher horror film where there's blood everywhere.
Scream.
If basically somebody had come in and started stabbing someone, but instead of blood, they had mince coming out of them.
It was on the ceiling everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. I'll be finding mince for months, right? There was mince absolutely everywhere. And I cannot describe.
And are you sure it was a cat?
Yes, I'm sure it was the cat. Because there was no one else in the house.
The reason I ask that, could there be a possibility that your house is haunted?
No, I don't think so.
Could it be a poltergeist? Could it be a ghost? Could it be an evil spirit?
Do you know what, right?
That was maybe it was a spirit who loves cats and wanted to feed the cat.
Well, if that is the case, then it's never happened before.
Okay, are you angry with the cat?
Furious. Well, I'm not speaking to the cat.
This is Monday now.
Yep, still not speaking to the cat. I didn't speak to him this morning.
So,
ignored him.
Saturday night?
Yeah. Oh,
you think the cat is...
Ironically, I was stewing on Saturday night. I was just like,
right, so Saturday,
furious.
Saturday night, you don't speak to the cat?
Nah.
What do you have for your dinner?
Tomato soup.
And the bread.
And the bread.
Well, at least you got to eat the expensive bread.
I was fucking raging.
Right, okay,
I was so angry.
So you eat your tomato soup or your fancy bread.
I was at that stage where I didn't even want to eat. I was like, well, that's it, fucking ruined. There's mince everywhere. Okay. Not only that, the cat had been eating the mince because his fucking paw marks were everywhere. Fucking trailing mince about the house.
Well, if a spirit is knocked over the mince... Then
there's
clearly
cat hair in the mince.
But the cat's going to eat it.
The mince is in the bin.
But you don't have proof that it was the cat. I mean, I believe in spirits, and I believe in poltergeists, and I believe in exorcisms, and I believe in ghosts. I believe in all that. I believe in aliens. I'm that kick type of guy. Now, I know the first thing you're going to think, the cat's knocked that over, but you don't know. You genuinely do not know if the cat could knock that over. Now, you're telling me it was a cast iron pot. Are you telling me that cat was strong enough to push that off the cooker?
He's a big cat.
Strong enough to push that off and filled with mince?
Clearly, yes. I think that's clearly what's happened.
So you presumed it was a cat. You're upset with the cat. You don't speak to the cat on Saturday night.
Yeah.
You have your tomato soup, your bread, you're angry.
Yesterday, I had a great day.
Did you see the cat on Sunday morning?
Yeah, I didn't speak to him.
You didn't speak to the cat on Sunday morning. So you go out on Saturday and Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, I'm away with my pals all day yesterday. I was watching the football, went out for some tea, had a great day, came back, cat was there.
Came home last night.
Ignored the cat, went straight to my bed.
Okay, this morning when you got up to come here to do the podcast, cat was there.
Cat was there.
Did you speak to it?
No.
Oh my God, you're not letting this one go, are you?
No, I'm absolutely not. I'm beyond livid with the cat. So yeah, that was my Saturday.
Well, I had baked potatoes. Baked potatoes?
Baked potatoes.
Baked potatoes, as I'd said, I was going to
massage
have.
Them again in that weird way that you do?
I do massage my baked potatoes in garlic olive oil. You have to. It crisps it up.
That's allowed.
And it's lovely. And then I had some coleslaw, some beans and cheese.
Oh, I do like that.
Ground black pepper. Wee bit of sea salt. Yeah. It was so good. And Lurpak butter before you put the coleslaw and the cheese and all
so
that.
It all melts and all that.
All melts. So it was fantastic. Great. So my baked potatoes were sensational. So my dinner was fine.
Then you were out and about at Hampden yesterday.
I was, but before that, after my baked potatoes,
sorry.
I had some ice cream.
All right, okay.
And I had some popcorn, and I watched a movie.
By the way, if you're noticing already, everything's running a wee bit smoother today.
And also, if you're watching on YouTube, you won't recognise where we are.
No, we're actually in one of the other studios here.
Yeah.
Because...
Can you rant in a second?
All right, okay, you finish your film review.
Let me finish my film review, because you can rant about producer John in a second, because not only are you pissed off with the cat, but you're also pissed off with producer John.
I am, yeah.
Right, and we'll get to why producer John's not here in just a second. Yeah, the movie I want to review today, and I want to highly recommend, is a movie called Carry On. It stars the boy who was in Rocket Man. He played Elton John. Tara Edgerton.
Something like that. Taron.
Good actor. Yep. He works in an airport. And Jason Bateman, who's in the movie, who is also in
Ozark.
Ozark, yeah.
Which I only watched the first series of, then never really finished.
Well, Jason Bateman tries to blackmail Tara Edgerton, who works at an airport. What I would say about this movie is that it's the right time of year for this movie to come out. It's kind of Die Hard and Home Alone, mystery, suspense. It's so far-fetched, it's out there. It's one of those movies you can just sit down and watch and enjoy, and don't take it too seriously. There's flaws, yes, but any movie like this has its flaws.
So you're not putting this up with your other top movies of 2024?
No, like The Substance and stuff like that. And
so in terms of Substance, it's not up there in terms of movies of 2024?
This is one of those movies where you can go and have a pee and come back and not miss anything.
Right, okay.
You could easily pick up on it. Some of the action sequences are superb. It's got everything. It's got some funny lines in it, great action sequences, got a bit of mystery, suspense and thriller about it. As I said, far-fetched, it's Die Hard, it's Home Alone, it's all that put together, and it's perfect for this time of year. It's called Carry On. Get it, watch. Very good. And I'm going to watch it again. It was that
good. Where can we see it?
Netflix.
We can see it on Netflix, right?
You can see it on Netflix.
Fine. But it's not in your top movies of 2024.
It's not in my nowhere near my top five list for 2024. What I will do is I will do a top five countdown of my movies for 2024 in our next podcast.
Okay, right.
Next week.
You've just reminded me of something as well.
What?
You were down in London filming a TV show.
Yeah, I was. I'm not really allowed to speak a lot about that.
Why not?
Because it's not out yet. But I can't talk about it.
It's just that you said a countdown, because it was one of these sort of like countdown-y list shows, wasn't it?
It's called When Parties Go Horribly Wrong.
Right, okay.
So I was in London on Wednesday doing a lot of filming.
Is it going to be out in 2024 or 2025?
2024. It's out between Christmas and New Year.
Right.
Once I get an actual broadcast date, I'll let everybody know on social media and the guys in group chat. But I was there as one of the talking head, quote-unquote, celebrities. Now, we're not pundits, we're not journalists, and we're not celebrities.
No.
But I've been classed a celebrity for the show.
What other celebrities did they have on it?
Well, the usual talking heads. Like, you know, when they have those talking head programs.
Jeff Brazier.
Well, I met two.
Okay.
Let's play the game.
Okay, right.
And I'll give you some clues, right? So I'm one of the talking heads. There's 14 of us. It's a 2-hour-long show.
Okay.
And on the day that I was filming, I was with two talking heads. So it was me and two other quote-unquote celebrities. So I'll give you a clue.
Right. Yeah, I think you're going to need to narrow it down.
Right. One of the women, I was with two women. One of the women was in Coronation Street and is also a loose woman.
Oh,
she's an older lady now.
Denise Welsh?
No. Was she in Corrie?
Denise Welsh? Yes, she was in Corrie.
Denise Welsh was in Corrie?
Yes, that's why she was famous. Denise Welsh was in Corrie.
Oh, okay. No, it wasn't Denise Welsh. I'll give you another clue.
Okay.
Labour government. Not this Labour government.
Old Labour government.
Yeah.
Margaret Beckett.
I'll give you another clue.
Right, okay.
Stevie Wonder song.
Isn't She Lovely? That's a Stevie Wonder song.
It's a name. I'm looking for a name.
Signs Healed Delivered. Superstition.
No, right, I'll get, so the second name is also...
Sorry seems to be the hardest word.
I think the second name is... I think the second name is to do with a moving company, like a truck company.
Stobart.
What famous person from Coronation Street?
Linda Stobart.
Who's Linda Stobart? So, the Labour government clue...
Blair.
First, yes.
Sherry Blair.
Right, no, but the name...
Sherry Blair.
No, it wasn't Sherry Blair, but the first name...
Blair.
No, the first name. First name of the woman, of Tony's wife.
Sherry.
Right, uh-huh.
Sherry Houston.
Yes!
Sherry Houston.
Isn't Houston to do with trucks? Is that Houston or something? I don't know.
I've got no idea.
So I met Sherry Houston.
Sherry Houston.
So Sherry Houston was there, so I met her.
Okay,
so that's
right.
That's one of the two.
Was she nice?
She was lovely.
Okay.
She's an elderly lady now. She's quite old.
I'm sure she'll love you, describing her in those terms.
No, but it's just fact, isn't it? But she was lovely. I don't think she's in Corrie anymore. I don't think she is.
No, no, no. She's just been a loose woman for years.
Right, so I met her, so she was lovely. And then I met somebody else who's connected to football. Or was connected to football.
Rebecca Vardy.
No.
Is that the right lines? Is she a wag?
Yes, she was a wag. But for
Is it Lizzie Cundy?
Yes! Well done! Well done!
Well, I'm just thinking, I mean, if they're getting you, it must be a fairly low bar for celebrities.
Very low bar, yeah.
Lizzie Cundy.
Lizzie Cundy, I met her. Do you know what? Lovely lassie.
A lovely lassie.
Lovely
sure
lassie.
Is.
So she was once married to the Spurs boy. No, Chelsea boy.
Jason Cundy.
Jason Cundy.
Like
so
TalkSport and everything.
So I met Lizzie Cundy. And this is the thing, right? Because it's a show called When Parties Go Horribly Wrong, I came out of the studio. I was in for about an hour because I had to go through all the clips and have to react to all the clips and everything. So when I come out the studio and I'm walking into the green room, all I can see is the bottom half of the dress. And you know that dress that Jessica Rabbit wears?
Not really, in the
movie. What's the movie called again? What's Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Right, I've no
Do you
no
know
idea.
The movie? No, the,
I've heard of the film, but
so that, it was that type of dress, and it was Lizzie Cundy. And the thing is, right, what they wanted us to do was to dress like we'd just gone to a party or that we were... setting up
God,
for a party.
How did you dress?
I just wore a denim jacket and a white t-shirt. And everyone else is dressed up to the nice. People were like wearing yellow jackets, and Lizzie Cundy was dressed like Jessica Rabbit with a sparkly red dress with a big split up the side and all that. Looked $1 million. I felt like a tramp. I'm now concerned that they might actually cut me out a lot of it because I just didn't look like I was at a party. I think what they try to do to make me look more like a party, they got me doing like party poppers and putting stupid masks on and everything. Because right. I just had a denim jacket on.
Are you
and a
sure
t-shirt.
This was a real thing?
It was a real thing, wasn't it?
And it wasn't a sort of like Beatles About type thing.
No, it wasn't nothing like that. Okay. No, it was it was a good experience, Stephen.
Okay, well, I'm glad it went well for you. I'm glad it went well. So, listen, as Ewan says, you can always get in touch anytime. On YouTube, you can leave your comments. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you'll notice that things look slightly different today. And the reason things look slightly different today is producer John is a massive shite bag. A massive, massive shite bag. So as you may know, Falkirk got absolutely pumped at the weekend, 5-2 by Ayr United.
They did.
And it just so happens that producer John isn't here today to face the wrath that he was going to get from me, basically. So he's come up with some bullshit story about one of his kids not being well, who he's obviously paid, I think, to say...
He's paid his daughter!
We'll give you an extra selection box at Christmas if you say that you're no well today and have to stay off and look after you. Massive shite bag. And that's why we're in a different studio, because I'm having to control everything, which actually means everything will run a bit smoother, to be honest with you.
Okay, I'm not here to defend John, right? But what I will say is this: on Saturday, you were relentless. See, in the WhatsApp group chat, you're relentless. And, I could tell with the tone of John's replies to your messages, he was an angry boy. Right.
Yeah, because his team had just been pumped 5-2. Okay. The thing is, I wouldn't actually give him it as tight.
Stephen, I wouldn't give him it as tight
if they weren't all of the opinion that they've already won the league.
But Stephen, right, so you're relentless.
You think a mark of champions would be going down to 10 men and showing a wee bit of resilience?
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe still getting beat, but, you know, putting in a fighting performance and not capitulating and losing 5 goals.
So you were relentless on Saturday night. I woke up yesterday at 10 a.m., and you are still going on on Sunday morning.
Yep.
Right, Sunday morning, I woke up and I woke up to 18 messages, right? And it was you. You got your big fishing rod out and you were relentless again. All day Sunday, you were running. I mean,
it was the first time I'd seen the horror red card that they got on Saturday
as
well.
Even during the cup final, you wouldn't let it go because Hearts were playing at that time. You're going, look how well Kilmarnock are playing with 10 men. They're holding Hearts off. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, you just wouldn't let it go. So, in some ways, I'm kind of not surprised that producer John has called off today.
What a shy bag. Like, Dunfermline have been... We got pumped by Raith Rovers in the Fife Derby on Saturday. I'm not running away.
I'm at the bottom of the league.
You're at the bottom of the league. You're here.
I know I'm here.
I think it's absolute shite baggery from producer John. Complete shite baggery.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. Because he's still editing this. He'll probably take that bit out.
Who's doing the quiz today, then?
God knows. We'll just have to grab somebody. Hopefully Gary Spence walks in at some point. In fact, Gary Spence is in. I can see him through there. So.
Could he do the questions?
So, yeah.
Well, who's got the questions?
I'll have to get John to send them to him. So,
oh, go and do that then. Yeah, do you know what? Should we get him on speakerphone?
We might need to phone him later on. Wait a minute. I'll put something in.
Put something in the group chat. Don't mention Falkirk getting beat 5-2 again.
Message Spence and he'll do the quiz.
Right. But don't say anything about 5-2.
At the end.
Right.
Oh, and.
But don't.
Falkirk.
No, did you? Oh, you can't do that. Is that in the group chat?
Got pumped. By the way, and you're getting hammered. There we go. Right, let's get some of your feedback before we get to the football. Lots to chat about.
That's
enough.
He's not going to send the question suspense now. You've pissed him off again.
I don't care. Three days in a row.
Let it go.
By the way, you met somebody outside Hampden yesterday who wasn't very nice to you. I think you should call them out.
So I was at Hampden yesterday working for Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yeah, you were doing some social stuff.
I was doing some stuff for social media. I was getting some video content with some Rangers and Celtic fans. And while I was there, I bumped into quite a few well-known faces. And faces that I've known over the years having worked in football. Joe Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely guy. Stand-up guy. Good seeing him. Hadn't seen him for such a long time. Peter Grant.
Mm.
Another stand-up
shite
guy.
Shite manager, but you know.
Well, you'll know that, being a Dunfermline fan.
But a lovely man.
Lovely guy. And bumped into him, interviewed him, interviewed Joe Miller. Gordon Dale, friends of the show anyway. Lovely. Mm-hmm. I met intern Callum from STV.
Intern Callum was there, I didn't see that.
Saw him chatting away, brilliant. I saw Ronnie Charters, spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
A few other boys from the BBC. Ian Crocker from Sky.
Ian Crocker!
Yeah, so Ian Crocker turned up for the game yesterday and I spoke to him. And you'll see these videos come out on social media a little later on Clyde One Super Scoreboard with all these names that I've just mentioned. Celtic fans were amazing. Great banter. Jambo Bear this, Jambo Bear that. Hearts are getting relegated. The usual stuff, but
yeah,
stuff that you expect.
Exactly.
Such a good laugh. Rangers fans, the exact same. Really enjoyed the day. Thoroughly enjoyed it before the game kicked off. And then I approached somebody else from the BBC who's a former Celtic player.
Mm-hmm.
Can I name him?
Yeah.
Miserable git.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Bonner.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Bonner. Rude.
He was rude to you.
Rude. He looked me up and down and then he saw the Clyde One mic.
Uh-huh.
And then he just turned his back on me.
And did you say, oh, hi, Pat?
Hi, I went, Pat, do you mind just a couple of minutes ahead of the big game? What do you think?
And he didn't even say, no, thanks.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's a bit rude.
And everyone else was amazing. Yeah. Every single... I think it's because we smashed the BBC.
Yeah.
In the ratings.
We do, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that might be partly it. But also because I have in the past been critical of the BBC and Sports Sound and the dinosaurs that work there.
Yeah.
On Sports Sound.
Well, That's disappointing.
It is disappointing. But everybody else that I met... And honestly, it was such a good laugh yesterday. And do you know what else I noticed? Forget what happened in the town. But when I was at Hampden, there were Celtic and Rangers fans mingling quite happily outside the main door.
Yeah.
Because all the celebs and all the former footballers were coming in. It was a good banter, good atmosphere, it was a good laugh. And there were hundreds. I got involved with loads of fans. I spoke to loads of fans. They were mingling around outside Hampden. And what went on within the city centre, Bampots, they are a minority when it comes to the overwhelming majority of football fans. And they shouldn't be in any way. Why am I even talking about it? Because I'm just giving them the exposure they want. But I just thought it was a really good day. Really good day. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay, apart from Pat Bonner. So let's get to the feedback from last week's show. GGH says, Ewan winning the quiz is the start of a week of shocks, by the way. Give me faith that Rangers will win on Sunday. Well, listen, they nearly did. Armando Diego, what is wrong with Ewan? He's a shite loser and a shite winner. The guy is just a cabbage. The boy that was in a podcast from STV was right about him.
The boy was in a podcast with STV. Say that again.
Oh, intern Callum.
Oh, intern Callum. That's right, because he was on last week.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It's just that Armando Diego can't write in sentences. Jordan says, well done, Ewan, on the win on the quiz. Two in a row. Yeah, one of them was against Mark.
Does
Robinson.
It matter?
A TV series recommendation for you recently added to Netflix is called Black Doves. Worth a watch. I've watched it. It's very good. It's got Keira Knightley in it.
I've got an issue with that.
Which is?
I can't watch Keira Knightley without thinking of Black Swan or when she's in Bend It Like Beckham. I can't take her seriously.
No, I think she's good.
As a secret agent?
It's a very good series. I finished it.
Do you think I should give it a go?
Aye, it's good. Vladimir says, Stephen will need a holiday after a defeat to Ewan.
I just back that by saying I haven't watched Daniel Craig in anything else? I can't watch the Onion thing that he does.
Oh, he's good in that. You should watch that.
Do you know those murder mystery things that he does?
Yeah.
I can't watch any of it because when I see him, I just think he Bond.
Lookalikes. Chick says, Ewan looks like Formula One's Eddie Jordan.
I've had that before.
RJ Demon, Stephen has always reminded me of John Wayne Gacy.
That's a serial killer.
Yeah.
He wishes to wear a clown outfit.
Right. Callum says, Ewan has another lookalike. He was watching The Simpsons and he's 100% looks like Milhouse.
Nah, I'm not having that.
Nath Murray says, I said Ewan looks like Clive Dunn from Dad's Army. lots of feedback on my holidays as well. Stephen says, I'm hardly ever on holiday, then proceeds to rattle off three different holidays he'd been on in less than 6 months.
That's true.
Alex says, loving the arguments at the start of the podcast. Stephen, remember by law, you're allowed up to 4 weeks annual leave and all the bank holidays, so tell secret Rangers fan Ewan to shut up. I'm trying to think how many weeks I've had off this year. It probably is about 5 weeks that I've had off this year.
Are you due any more?
No.
Is that you for the year?
That's me for the year.
But that is it not April to April? So you can't go on any more holidays?
It depends when my contract's for.
Because we're freelance.
We're freelancers, But the thing is, and a lot of people won't know this, if we don't work, we don't get paid.
Mm.
Right?
Correct.
So, like, every time I go on holiday, it costs me over and above what the actual holiday costs.
Yeah, which is why he tags along with Anna a lot of the time.
So Kay McLeod says, pretty sure I seen Stephen on the new On the Beach advert. Could be nothing. Thank you very much. Lots of other stuff. Stuart says, I stupidly followed your advice and watched The Substance. What a biggest load of shite. I can only assume you think it's the best film of 2024 because a 62-year-old woman gets naked in it.
It's not the reason why I think
it's a
movie.
Is that a big reason, though?
No, it's nothing to do with it. Mm. It's no reason at all. For me, as it stands right now, before I reveal my top five next week...
Okay, of
2024. I think The Substance is definitely top three
of...
2024.
Stephen says, before he leaves office for a quiet life, what's the chance we get Joe Biden back to do the lower league roundup one last time? I miss him gushing over the Warriors. Craig says, never noticed the TV being off-centre until Stephen, with a PH, pointed it out. Also, I have zero experience in producing, but reckon I wouldn't struggle as much as John pressing the three buttons. I can do it perfectly well myself, and I'm speaking at the same time. He just needs to sit there on his arse.
And listen, and then press the button. Wait for the cue.
Ryan says, let's be honest, none of the films mentioned are the best film of 2024, because the best film of 2024 is Wicked. Don't at me. That's what Ryan says.
Ryan says Wicked is the best movie of 2024.
Well, you've not seen it, presumably.
I haven't seen it, but...
It's getting very good reviews.
Have you been to see it yet?
Nah, it's not my thing. I don't like musicals. Stephen says, I need to put up with this every time I go to Fir Hill with my dad, but surely the halfway line at Thistle is the worst example in Scottish football of shoddy lines. It stresses me out every time. He's attached a picture as well, and obviously the main stand is significantly to the left.
You see?
Of where the you can't really see it because it's sort
of, oh no, I can see it. I know
it is really annoying. Somebody needs to line all this up. Okay, so just a quick recap on the past week. Obviously, Celtic goalless draw with Dinamo Zagreb in the Champions League. Probably 2 points dropped.
Celtic
were just about the better team.
Do you know the thing is though? Right, for me, Rangers, Celtic did the hard work. The point at Atalanta. beating RB Leipzig. You've done the hard work. Your next two games at home to Bruges, away to Dinamo Zagreb. You win those two games, which I expect them to do. You're finishing joint second in that league, and you're one win away against Young Boys for finishing in the top eight and booking your place in the last 16. I think it was a chance miss. Now, if you said to a Celtic fan at the start of the campaign that you're going to finish in the playoff position, they're a bit in your hand off it.
Totally, yeah.
But see, when you get in that position where you can finish in the top eight, I think they're going to regret that, because they're going to end up getting some stinker of a draw in the playoffs, and when they could have been in the last 16 as of right. And it's just a shame. That really annoyed me.
Rangers drew with Spurs at Ibrox in the Europa League, confirming their passage to the knockout stages. Aye. As well, a cracking performance by Rangers. I thought they were really unlucky not to win, to be
they deserved to win it.
I thought Spurs were absolutely honking, but Rangers did play very well as
but
well.
But I tell you what, it gave them the kick up the ass they needed, because Spurs went and won 5-0 yesterday.
Yeah, they did. Hearts got beat by Copenhagen 2-0 in the Europa Conference.
Expected
league.
That
Yeah, a poor penalty giveaway. Craig Gordon's penalty record. We're talking about this at the weekend.
I was shocked.
73 penalties he's faced, 74 after yesterday, and he saved 6.
That's shocking.
He went 15 years without saving a penalty. Pedro Martinez Loza has left his role as Scotland's women's manager as well after their failure to qualify for the Euros. That was kind of expected as well.
Right. Can I? My issue with that, why was he given a new contract just last summer?
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
Scotland in the men's side will face Belarus, Greece, and either Portugal or Denmark. Probably Denmark if Portugal hopefully beat Denmark in the Nations League.
Got a shot.
That happens in March. And Belarus, Greece, let's say Denmark.
Denmark, we've got a shot. We've got a shot.
I think that's a very good group. It could have been a lot worse than that.
100%.
Now, listen, it's not going to be easy.
No.
Denmark obviously qualify for lots of major tournaments and do really well. I don't think Greece are shy either.
If we don't win the group, then we'll get in the playoffs. We'll definitely be top two.
Yeah, I'd rather us just win the group.
I agree with you. Yeah, right. But we've got a chance.
Let's start with the weekend's football then. And it was a thriller at Hampden yesterday. Celtic 3, Rangers 3, Celtic winning the cup on penalties after, I was going to say Peter Schmeichel's save, but it's not Peter Schmeichel, obviously.
Casper
Schmeichel. It was Maeda with the winning penalty for Celtic. Cracking game.
Game of the season.
I thought that, go back 3-4 weeks, I think we were saying on this podcast, it could have been anything to Celtic. It could have been 3-4-5.
Everyone was saying it. Rangers fans were actually scared for this game to come round just 4 or 5 weeks ago.
But then with Rangers' performance against Spurs on Thursday, played really well. I think the only thing I was maybe thinking that maybe took a wee bit out of them.
But especially in extra time.
It showed absolutely nothing yesterday.
It did in extra time, I thought. I thought Celtic were the better team.
Celtic took control of the game in extra time, maybe a wee bit. But I think for the 90 minutes, I thought it was, hell for leather. I thought both teams had chances. I thought both teams played well. We'll get to some of the controversial decisions in VAR WTF in just a wee second. Only 4 teams who have scored first in the last 49 League Cup finals have failed to win the trophy. Rangers become one of those teams.
The biggest moment of the day. And yeah, we can talk about the penalty incidents, etc., that could have affected the game. But for me, the big moment in the game was Carter Vickers versus 4 Rangers attackers.
Yep.
In the 51st minute, Rangers are 1-up. It's 4-1. And a lot of Rangers fans think that Igmini's done the right thing by giving it to Barami on his right. I don't think he did. Because
he should have reversed and gone to his
reversed
left.
Reversed because he's got Diamandé there. And see if he does that, because the way that Vickers has got his back to Diamandé, and I don't know who else was up alongside Diamandé, I can't remember who that was.
Yeah.
But see if he just sort of slows himself down and just slips it to his left. Mm-hmm. There's 2 Rangers players at 8 and they've got an open goal. So why he went with Barami, I have no idea, because Carter Vickers was in a better position to challenge Barami than he was the players to Igmini's left. For me, that was the big moment, and I think that was the moment that Celtic won the cup, because Carter Vickers, what a job he did there in sliding in to stop that cross coming in for Rangers to go 2-0 up. And I know there'll be fans will be going, but oh yeah, what about this decision and that decision and that decision? But that moment, it was huge, and Lennon called it. He said it at that time. He goes, if Celtic going to win the cup, we'll look back at that moment and say that's where they won it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
I thought Neil Lennon was good on commentary. I thought the I actually enjoyed the commentary. Him and Hutton, I thought they were both very good.
We put in a WhatsApp group. I thought Lennon was really good in co-commentary. Very fair, very balanced. Called it as he saw it. I really like Lennon. He was really good.
Yeah, so Celtic obviously struck back. I was a bit confused because
2 goals in 4 minutes.
Obviously, the goal came from a corner, but I hadn't realised that Butland had saved the effort from Kyogo.
Aye.
Save. They hadn't showed a replay of it. Yeah. And then it just went straight to the corner. They obviously scored, then they scored again. But then Danilo obviously pops up and then unbelievable.
The whole thing about yesterday was that both teams.
I thought Kuhn is. He's going to be the next player that Celtic sell for a lot of money.
Oh, they'll be lucky to hold on to him at the end of the season, the way he's playing.
I thought he was very, like, he was just a thorn in Rangers' side the entire day.
And I tell you, and from the Rangers' perspective, Raskin could be that player.
I thought Raskin was excellent as well, yeah.
Raskin was outstanding against Spurs. He was, for me, Rangers' best player yesterday. He was the best player for them against Spurs. He's been coming on to a game in the last 5-6 weeks, and that's the player that Rangers thought they were getting. And he's only 23, so he's only going to get better. So Raskin was good. I thought Kuhn was good. I just thought there were so many positives, so many good players on the pitch, some good football. It was helter-skelter at times, controversy. And, you know, John Beaton's come for a bit of stick here and there, but I thought generally he had a good game. If I'm being honest, I thought he had a good game. We'll get to the incident involving Cherney and Scales. Now, that's the moment where you want VAR to help you. So I wouldn't blame Beaton for that. That's where VAR come in. But we'll get to that. But I thought Beaton had a no bad game. He was quite stern with the players. He got his point across. Yellow cards, I think, were right. I think Balogun was possibly a wee bit lucky not to pick up a second yellow for a challenge on Hitati. But again, I can see it's one of them. He's put his foot in. But I just thought it was a great game for Scottish football. I thought it was a great advert for our game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's a shame that somebody had to lose. It really was. And I hate when you lose a game on penalties. That hurts a lot more because it's a lottery.
I did see a lot of Rangers fans extremely upset with Cyril Dessers for not coming forward and taking a penalty.
I don't know what that's all about. He's a striker. His job is to put the ball in the back of the net. I felt sorry for Ridvan. He doesn't strike the ball great. Neither does Maeda. He actually, did he not admit in the press conference that he actually mishit it?
Yeah.
Because he nearly hit the post.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Jack Butland?
Yeah, great penalty. Great penalty.
No, forget the penalty. He was never saving a penalty. He never felt confident that he was going to save a penalty.
He'd obviously been watching Craig Gordon and how he saves penalties.
I'd love to know what his record is, because watching him yesterday, I don't think he saves penalties.
I think I checked this yesterday, to be honest.
I don't think his record could be that good. At no point. In the first couple of penalties, I thought, he's not saving any of them. He just didn't look right. And he stood so far back off his line. He was like in the middle of the goal.
So he saved six penalties.
He saved 6 in his career.
Yeah, that's not including shootouts, though.
Yeah, I thought his preparation for the penalties was bizarre. Did you not see him? He was like back of the net, and then he was behind the line, and then he bounced forward.
Yeah,
strange. And I thought,
he only went the right way once.
It was Engels.
Yeah,
and here's the thing about the Engels penalty. Me and my boy were watching it, and I said, well, he's going to go to Butland's left because he always goes to the left. Does Engels. I mean, the penalties he scored this season in the Champions League and also in the league, he's gone to the left. So he has to know that.
Yeah.
So you have to then make the move a split second earlier to get there because it's not in the corner. So if he does his homework and that's where Engels 9 times out of 10 would go, then you go a wee bit earlier, you make the save. I just thought he was poor at the penalties.
And it ultimately comes down to, you know, keeping your nerve if you're the taker, but if you're the goalkeeper as well, you know, doing your research and sort of like working out stuff like that. And I think, I don't know what it was about. I fancied Schmeichel to save a penalty more than I did Butland.
So did I. And I thought Schmeichel played it really well. He stood in the penalty spot and he waited for the Rangers player to arrive, whereas Butland was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, he was trying.
Schmeichel was doing what every good goalkeeper should be doing. He did it. And Butland, for me, was way too passive. And I thought he was shocking at the penalty shootout.
So Celtic win the first silverware of the season. Is it the first part of a treble?
That's a really good question. Well, they're going to win the league.
So they've got a double. You're giving them the double.
They've got the double. They've got the league and they've got the league and the League Cup. I really, I was really impressed with Rangers yesterday and on Thursday. And I think they're maybe not as far behind Celtic as we thought they were. Now they're getting their players back and they're getting to know who they are, what they are, their strengths, their weaknesses, because there's a lot of new players in there that arrived in the summer. Raskin feels like a new signing as well. Do they win the treble? Obviously depend on the draw for the Scottish Cup, etc, etc. Do you know what? I was so impressed with Rangers yesterday. Celtic are still the better side and they've got the better strength and depth as well. They'll walk the league. But I'm going to give the Scottish Cup to Rangers. Okay. I think they...
Do you think any questions over Clement are done now?
I see that yesterday, Thursday, Kilmarnock, and the way they've been playing in the last month or so, the question of Clement getting the boot should be gone now.
Okay.
Gone, because I think Rangers are on a game just now. I thought Tavernier, he did a job in dropping him because he's come back a different player.
He's also dropped Barron as well, obviously.
Dropped Barron as well. I think he's done...
It does look like he's got an 11 that he likes now. And
a system.
A system that works for him.
And he's still to get Cortez back, who'll make a difference on the left. He's got Jeffrey out there. He's got Ridvan that can play on the left as well. Yeah, listen, he's going to have some decent options once the players are back. Because you had Lawrence on the bench, not on the bench, but in the stand. You had Matondo on the stand. You had Cortez in the stand.
Suter
as well. Well, there's another one. And then you've got Barami, who went into the role that he wants to play, which is a number 10. So he's got options, and I think... And listen, Clement did say, let's judge my team in November. Now, it's gone a wee bit beyond that. We're into December now. And now I think what he thought he was going to get has now happened for him. So I think any fan that thinks Clement should get the boot are wrong. And I was wrong because I thought he should have got the boot as well. It turns out he was right and we were wrong because that was unbelievable. 5 weeks ago, we were predicting 4-0 for Celtic. We all were. Rangers fans were shit scared of this game coming up. And then he goes and put in that performance. So, yeah, stick with Clement. I think he's done a decent job there.
And in terms of Celtic, just another trophy.
Another trophy.
Brendan Rodgers still unbeaten at Hampden.
Phenomenal. And even when they're not at their best, they can get a result. You look at the way they played this season. They've only lost once. And who was that against? Dortmund. So we're talking 6 Champions League games. They've lost one. They've lost no games in the league. They've just won the League Cup. It's a relentless team. They know how to win. They know how to get over the line. And they're always a danger. I still think they need to look at the left-back position. I'm still not sure that Scales is the man to take them to that next level, if I'm being honest, because he made a few mistakes yesterday, looked a bit rusty. I don't know why they took Trusty off. I know he didn't have the best of first halves, but I like Trusty. I think he's got potential. But according to the co-commentators yesterday, Trusty was taken off for tactical reasons. But they're a fantastic team, and Kuhn is, although not his best game yesterday, but again, so effective, good finish as well, and he gives defenders a right nightmare.
Okay, let's move on to the Premiership then. We'll get to the refereeing decisions in VARWTF in just a wee second. It was Motherwell 4, Dundee United 3 on Saturday. What a game this was, and this means that Motherwell jump above Dundee United into fourth place in the table. But I mean, Dundee United, very unlike them to lose 4 goals.
Yeah.
They've been pretty stingy this season in terms of their defence. But absolutely tremendous times for Motherwell. They were heading to Copenhagen for the Christmas night out as well after the game.
And they've jumped up to fourth ahead of Dundee United in the league with that win. Thing is, though, see, when you go away from home and you score 3 goals, you expect to win that game.
Yep.
But they get beat 4-3. Great game. And I watched the extended highlights. Dundee United are unlucky. I think they deserve something out of the game. They had more possession.
They played Motherwell 3 times this season and lost to them every single time.
Turning out to be a wee bogey team, isn't it? But listen, Kettlewell. I mean, there's Motherwell fans in the summer going to get rid of him. And there they are, 4th in the league. What a job that boy's doing. And he lost his best player in Theo Bear. It's just phenomenal what that boy's done. I've always been a fan of Kettlewell, and sometimes I think he gets a hard time when he doesn't deserve it. And
yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff around the style of football that he plays and stuff like that.
See,
as well.
I would rather be playing like shite and being fourth in the league, other than where we are right now at the bottom of the league?
Hibs did win on Saturday, so it looks like David Gray is slowly starting to turn it around. They did concede first, though, against Ross County, and it was looking like they were going into the break behind, but then Gale equalises just before half time, and that means that they could come out in the second half. Now, they got a penalty, missed one, then got one 3 minutes later as well. Johan did score from that, and then Josh Campbell rounds it off at the end. But Hibs have been playing better of late.
They have.
And I think that's just an example of it. So that means Hibs are up to eighth in the table. Well, they were certainly yesterday. So they're ninth, because obviously Kilmarnock won yesterday. But, you know, that relieves a wee bit of the pressure. Mm-hmm.
The four leagues in England and the four leagues in Scotland, I said on Saturday, Hibs were the biggest certainty in British football at the weekend, because I was so impressed with their performance at Parkhead against Celtic. And then, as they're approaching half time, Ross County were winning 1-0, and I was like, oh no, I've jinxed them. But they deserved the win, and fair play. And I'm happy for David Gray, I really am. I'm delighted for the boy, because he's been under the cosh, and we've said that a few times. Hibs have been playing well, but they've just not had the rub of the green. But now they've bounced back and they've climbed the table. What are they up to, eight?
They're up to ninth. So Kilmarnock went above them yesterday. But like, do you think, you've always said that you think Hibs will be fine. Do you think this is the start of them being fine?
They'll be fine. I keep saying it. Ross County and St John's will be the bottom two.
Ross County's away form honking. Yeah. You know, absolutely stinking away form.
I don't think their home form saves them this year. I think this is it for them. Okay. It's between them and St Johnston.
Well, St Johnston did lose. They managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory against St Mirren. It was a late show for St Mirren. It was 3-2. They won in the end. That means St Mirren are comfortable in the top six. Well, a couple of points clear in the top six. And St Johnstone, as you said, dropping down to 11th spot in the relegation playoff spot. Only Hearts below them currently.
And who do Hearts play next?
St Johnstone.
At Tynecastle.
So, big game coming up. Do you think that, you know, there's just a wee... the same problems are existing under Seymour Vallecari that were there under Craig Levein, yeah. Let's be honest.
St Mirren deserved something out of the game. Probably didn't deserve to win it, but look, you'll take it. I don't know what the goalkeeper was thinking at the penalty, because it had to be retaken.
Yeah.
He's jumping off his line. It's always going to be retaken with VAR there. But that's a tough job for Vallecari, and I still think that it's them and Ross County for automatic relegation. Whoever finishes 11th in that league will not get relegated. I don't think the teams in the Championship are good enough to beat a St Johnstone or a Ross County over two legs.
Okay. And then yesterday, one final game in the Premiership. It was 10-man Kilmarnock again, the seventh sending off they've had this season. It was Robbie Dees who was the culprit. But they did hold on. They showed how to play with 10 men against Hearts. And they won by a goal to nil, obviously, from the penalty spot. We'll get to VAR WTF in just a wee second, but I don't think there was many complaints about it, to be honest. Bruce Anderson scoring from the spot. I did say to you on Saturday, I kind of fancied Kilmarnock.
You did.
And, you know, that's them up to eighth now. They are 4 points clear of Hearts at the bottom. At what point do you start to get worried? Because I know you keep saying, oh, Hearts will be fine, Hearts will be fine, Hearts will be fine. But listen to this. When Hearts have conceded the opening goal this season, they have not won a game. They've conceded the first goal on 11 occasions, and they've drawn 3 and lost 8. So that doesn't. I know Shankland was missing yesterday as well. I know there was a European game on Thursday, but that would worry me, because that doesn't show much resilience, I don't think. And you're going to need resilience to get you out of this mess originally.
Right. What I would say about the game at the weekend, and I watched the extended highlights, we were gutless, heartless. It was...
only 4 attempts on goal.
It was horrific. It's one of the worst performances I've seen from Hearts in a long, long time. And we've been bad in quite a few games this season. That was unacceptable. And again, I am not going to sit here and blame the head coach Critchley. I'm not blaming him yet, because I think we've been good up until that game yesterday. That's the worst game that he's been in charge of. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying every single week, we're going to be fine. And I am still of that opinion that we're going to be fine. We have got... I think we've got St Johnstone. Who have we got? I've actually
Hibs,
got it here.
Hibs on Boxing Day.
No, we've got a couple of games before that, mate.
Yeah, no, well...
No, I think 3 of our next 4 games are at home for Hearts. And we need to win all those games. We need to win all those games. St Johnstone next. That is a must win. If we do not beat St Johnstone next week, I'll be sat here on Monday fearing relegation. That's how big a game it is.
Okay.
That's how quick it can change. I think we'll be fine, and I think we'll beat St Johnstone, and then hopefully we'll kick on from that, because I think we've got Hibs at home. Who else have we got at home? I can't remember. But we've got three of our next four games at home, and I think that's the key between now and New Year.
Do you think Kilmarnock will be fine?
Kilmarnock will be fine. Again, St Johnstone and Ross County, how many times am I telling you?
No, but I'm
Kelly will be fine.
Kelly, obviously...
Kelly will be fine.
Great result for them, though, after going down to 10 men.
They'll be fine. I think that they're more likely to get in the top six than St Mirren. I think St Mirren are more likely to drop out of the top six than Kelly to replace them. I think Kelly will be fine.
Quite a bold claim. But yeah, Kilmarnock showing how it's done with 10 men, because it is obviously... It's tough playing against 10 men. It really, really is. Unless you're playing against Falkirk with 10 men, who got absolutely battered on Saturday by Ayr United. So they go a goal up.
You need to stop it.
They go a goal up after
Stephen,
90 Stephen, seconds or something.
Stephen, you need to stop it.
So actually they had something to hold on to and defend Falkirk, because they were already a goal in front. Unlike Kilmarnock, who were actually down to 10 men, then they scored. Falkirk were already a goal to the good when they got a man sent off for a horror challenge. Right,
I'm just going to come here and offer balance.
After 8 minutes.
There was a horror challenge. He got sent off.
Horror red card.
He got sent off for, quote unquote, a deliberate handball.
He punched the ball.
He didn't. George Oakley punched the ball.
He didn't.
The Raith Rovers striker, George Oakley, punched the ball.
Well, they weren't playing Raith Rovers, they were playing Ayr United, so...
Sorry, who was the striker?
George Oakley.
George Oakley.
Of Ayr United.
Ayr United, sorry. So Ayr United...
No, he didn't.
He did.
No, because the referee sent off the Falkirk player.
Right. He got that wrong.
You're not allowed to punch the ball, Ewan.
Yeah,
it's the closing the name. It's football.
George Oakley was one that punched the ball.
Aye.
It was mistaken identity.
I don't think it was.
It really was. Have you watched the replay back?
Yeah, I've watched it many times.
Right.
And
it's quite
clear that Falkirk player in a blatant attempt at cheating, because George Oakley was bearing that George Oakley was about to hit the ball into the goal.
Sharp.
The Falkirk player punched the ball away in one of the most blatant cheating things that I've ever seen in my life.
I'm all up for a bit of banter.
Yeah.
I'm all up for winding up producer John and Falkirk.
It's no surprise to me that Falkirk want to win the league by trying to bend the rules.
Right, you're talking shite.
Well,
you are talking shite. That was never a red card in a million years.
It was a stone wall a red card.
And if the referee doesn't send the boy off, Falkirk win that game comfortably.
How do you know that?
They win it comfortably.
How can you say that?
They're 1-0 up. They scored an early goal, and then when you're down to 10 minutes after 8 minutes,
and then George Oakley's right through. The guy punches the ball away in a blatant attempt.
Your hatred for Falkirk,
no hatred of Falkirk,
shines through every single week on this podcast, and it's killing you that Falkirk are top of the league and have the league in their control.
In their control. Last week, Falkirk had won the league. I think you said Falkirk. You gave the league title to Falkirk last week.
I still have.
So Falkirk have won the league.
They've won the league.
Even if Livingston win their game in hand on Tuesday against bottom of the table Airdrie, and the gap will be 2 points.
Yeah. Yeah. Falkirk have won the league.
Even though, with 10 men, they capitulated. 5 goals they conceded.
Right. Let's move on to Dunfermline. What happened to them at the weekend?
No, I'm not finished with Falkirk yet. I wanted to give credit to Ayr United, because they have closed the gap as well at the top. They're only 7 points behind. They probably needed that. 3 wins in the last four, though. And, a cracking win for Ayr United. I mean, they were shown, like, as you say, it's sometimes difficult to play against 10 men, but Falkirk... managed to concede 5 goals with 10 men. Now, does that not say to you there's a lack of backbone, a lack of resilience, a lack of...
Grit.
Grit, determination, that they can just go, oh, we're doing it 10 men, it's too hard for us. We'll just concede 5 goals. Oh, it's too hard. Just take a shot, didn't he, Bunny? That's basically what Falkirk did. If I'm a Falkirk fan, I'm deeply concerned after that, because that... isn't a sign of champions to me. That's a sign of a typical John McGlynn team. John McGlynn's teams over the years have bottled championships left, right and centre. He did it with Raith Rovers a couple of times. He did it with Falkirk when Dunfermline were in the league. Now, fair enough, they won the league last season, but they weren't under any pressure last season.
No, because they know it was against them.
Because they were playing Plumbers, right? So they were miles ahead. So there was no sort of pressure or anything. I'm telling you right now, Livingston are going to put Falkirk under serious pressure over the next couple of months, and that is when you will see how good a manager John McGlynn is. Okay. John McGlynn will begin to make changes. He'll fart about with the formation, and then Falkirk will bottle the league. That is what is going to happen. Elsewhere, was not a good day for Dunfermline. Very, very, very poor performance against Raith Rovers. Thoroughly deserved victory for them.
Was it bad? I did see James McPake get interviewed after the game, and he looked crestfallen.
Dylan Easton, best player in the park. Even my mates who were there as Dunfermline fans were, you know, he scored a cracking free kick as well.
Was he not you?
No, Dylan Easton was at Kelty.
Kelty, that
and
was
he
it.
Was at Airdrie before that as well. So, yeah, the difference between the teams, I think, in terms of quality, because there was nothing from Dunfermline. So yeah, Raith Rovers up to 7th in the table, 3 points now ahead of Dunfermline, who dropped down to 9th. Yeah, I mean, obviously you'll have seen the stuff, with the takeover over the last week or so. A consortium about to
is that happening?
Apparently, yeah. I think that's what I'm hearing. So it's you can go and look for it yourself. But there's a guy who used to be a poker player who is leading the consortium.
A lot of money. He's got a lot of money.
But he has interest in sort of pharmaceutical stuff and AI and stuff like that as well. And they also own the Spanish team Cordoba, who are in the second division in Spain. But they just took over a few weeks ago or a few months ago. So they've not had a chance to do anything in the transfer market yet. So we can't really judge what they're going to do, but it looks like it's pretty much a done deal. Should be being announced over the next week or two.
Happy with this? Is it? It's probably the best offer you've got.
I you just have to wait and see, I think, with these things. I think what you need to get out of the Championship is spend a bit of money, and then you can get into the Premiership. And I think Dunfermline would actually be quite a self-sustaining team in the Premiership, because our crowds would be bigger.
Yes.
We'd get a lot more prize money, sponsorship, TV money, all that stuff as well. So I think we'd be fine if we're in the Premiership, but you need to spend money to get out of the Championship. And that's what Livingston are doing this season. They've basically got the parachute payment. They'll have the biggest budget in the division. That's another thing why I think Livingston might kick on in January. They'll have money to spend in January, and I don't think Falkirk do.
And they've also kept players from last year's Premiership title race.
Yes.
Title race, Premiership campaign.
Premiership campaign. So to get back to Dunfermline though, I think I think the takeover by all accounts should be done.
And James McPake won't be there much longer.
I would strongly suspect that would be the case.
Because new owners come in, they want their own
men. I think
the
new owners I'll probably make that call.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I feel a wee bit sorry for McPake in certain ways. Like, he doesn't help himself sometimes with his team selections and formations. But, you know, all managers do that. But I think, you know, he got us out of League One at the first time he asked in, which is great. Last season, we had a horrible injury list. He didn't get backed in the summer in terms of players that he wanted to bring in, because the owners at this stage were
wanting out.
So I do think he has been constrained in certain areas, but in other times he's not helped himself. And, you know, I think it's probably going to be the end sometime soon. It's not going to be this week. Like, the current ownership are not going to sack him, because they'll have to pay for it.
This run into January, do you think?
I wouldn't imagine so. I don't think
it'll be all done and dusted before then.
I think the aim that I was told was that they want it done for the transfer window opening, so that they can strengthen the squad in January and presumably get their own manager and coaching staff in as well.
Right, okay.
So I think there'll be changes over the next few weeks. But yeah, I think it was a horrible sort of atmosphere at the end as well. My mate was saying when the players came across and James McPake came across. So you hate to see that as well. I don't think James McPake's a bad guy. I think he's done good things for Dunfermline, but it's just not happening, and it's just not been happening all season now. Hamilton beat Queen's Park by 2-1. So that's them up to 6th as well. A cracking win for them. First defeat for Queen's Park. In fact, just a couple of weeks. I just made that up. So Airdrie finally got a point, 2-2 against Morton, but they remain obviously bottom of the table. But the gap is just 9 points now in League One. A new league leader again in League One. This time it's Arbroath. They beat Inverness by 2-0. They jump ahead of Stenhouse Muir, who lost 2-1 to Queen of the South. Thumping win for Annan, 5-1 against Dumbarton. Dumbarton are done and dusted already. Obviously in administration, deducted 15 points. They've only got 1 point, and an absolute pumping on Saturday.
nil-nil between Cove Rangers and Celtic Hearts, and Montrose went to Alloa and won by 2-1. Everyone can beat everyone in this division again. There is only 6 points separating first to sixth in the League One table, and it's tight in League Two as well. East Fife remain top, but just on goal difference now, because they lost to Peterhead on Saturday by 1-0. Elsewhere, Elgin had been on a decent run but then lost to East Fife last week. They got beat again on Saturday at Boroughbriggs by 4-2. Stirling Albion going up there and winning, so it's all looking fairly tight at the top. So East Fife on 27, Peterhead 27, Elgin 26, and then we also have the Spartans beating Clyde by 3-2. Clyde in dire straits financially as well. I was reading during the week,
they want money, don't they?
They need a 50 grand injection or something like that over the next wee while, so hopefully they can get sorted. Jim Weir is back in charge at Forfar, and he's making a difference already. 5-1 winners against Bonnyrigg, and it was 0-0 between Stranraer and Edinburgh City. Right, that is you right up to date. Let's do this. La gente está muy loca. What the fuck? Things run so much smoother when I'm just in control of things. Honestly, seamless. Absolutely seamless. So let's get to the VAR decisions. And of course, Celtic versus Rangers yesterday. John Beaton in charge. Alan Muir was the VAR. And, you know, you'll hear that after the game. You'll see it on social media. Philippe Clement not happy about the potential penalty on Cherney, a challenge for Scales and extra time. It was tight. It looked like it was on the line. I was reading this morning that apparently the foul was given for the first Scales challenge, which is clearly outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Then he pulls him. And it's on the line, and then that could have been a penalty. So, Ewan Cameron, what happened there? Right. What should have happened there?
Okay, so I've been in contact with Des Roach and Steve Conroy.
Because Bobby Madden also tweeted out, I think, or on Instagram or something last night.
He said it was a penalty.
He said it was 100% a penalty. But if it's been given for the first foul... Well,
I don't know if you saw my tweet last night to the referees. So I tweeted them directly to Des Roach and Steve Conroy. Having seen Madden's reply on Instagram about the penalty. So I asked four questions. Can I read you out these four questions
can,
I
yeah.
asked? And then I'm going to give you the reply to each of these questions. So let me just go through this. And it started a huge debate. It would have helped if I had just screen grabbed it instead of me going through it. Right, here we go. Got a couple of questions for Steve and for Des. And I posted this on Twitter. When did John Beaton blow his whistle? And does that matter?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a foul before the tug on the jersey? No, there is. I think there is a foul before the tug on the jersey. Does the first foul rule out the tug?
Mm-hmm.
Because what could happen in that situation, my interpretation,
you
is
could
play advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you do play advantage, but then the tug happens, do you then pull it back for the original tackle or do you give it for
or
the
do you
advantage?
Give it for the tug, which would mean it was a penalty.
Yeah. Does the tug outside the box not deem it a foul outside the box? So the tug starts outside the box, but then continues on the line.
Into the, yeah.
Right. So I asked those four questions, and it created a massive debate on Twitter. Everyone had their say.
Can I guess that everyone who got involved, who was a Rangers fan,
penalty,
thought it was a penalty? And can I guess that everyone who was a Celtic fan thought it wasn't a penalty?
Correct.
Right, okay, right, that's fine.
I'm going, before I give you Desi's reply, this former top flight referee, I'm going to read out a message. Now, this is from a Celtic fan.
Okay.
Right, it is from a Celtic fan. And he's a friend of the show, a guy called PB. Do you remember an incident we discussed a couple of weeks ago involving a St Mirren player at Ibrox?
Yes.
Olesanya.
Yeah.
Through and goal. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the boy they had on loan from PSV, or is it 20? The Dutch.
Proper.
No, the other. Casawanjaro or something.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, so the referee pulled it back for a foul, for the initial foul.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of talk going, well, why have you done that? Because there was a penalty there. Mm-hmm. Why have you pulled it back? But from what I remember from that incident involving Olesanya, was that the referee had already blown his whistle for the previous foul outside the box, and then the challenge comes in after the referee has blown his whistle,
mm-hmm.
which is why the penalty wasn't given. With the incident involving Beaton yesterday and Cherney,
mm-hmm.
the whistle is blown when Cherney falls to his ass.
Yeah.
When he falls to his ass, then Beaton blows his whistle.
Mm-hmm.
From the outside looking in, right, for me, Beaton is blowing his whistle for the tug on the jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when he's blown his whistle. He hasn't blown the whistle for the initial tackle from Scales.
Okay.
Because if he thinks that's a foul, blow your whistle.
Okay, so what's your man saying there?
Right. So this is what our man says. It doesn't matter. The infringement started outside and continued. So he's talking about the tackle and the tug on the jersey is one infringement.
Yep.
So he swiped at him.
Yep.
Missed him, grabbed his jersey. So it's like one continuous motion of a foul. That's okay. What he's getting at. It doesn't matter that it started outside but continued inside the penalty area. The lines mark the area and are part of the game. Hence, if an infringement occurs on the penalty area line, then it's considered to be part of the penalty area. VAR let him down, i.e. Beaton, when he had the chance to alert him. Wrong decision. It's a penalty 100%.
And that's what Des Roach says.
Des Roach and Steve Conroy say. And obviously you've got your boy Madden, who thinks it's a penalty as well.
Yeah.
So what they're getting at here, and what Des is getting at here from the ref's review, is that the swipe from Scales is part of the infringement.
It's part of one continuous foul,
infringement,
basically.
Because he doesn't go down, he's still kind of stumbling, and then he grabs his jersey and then pulls him in. So, and then that's when Beaton blows his whistle. Now, the position that Beaton is in, he cannot see if that's a penalty or not. And I wouldn't blame Beaton for anything in that situation.
Yeah.
This is what VAR was made for. Mm-hmm. VAR was made for them to get involved, to help the referee out, and maybe say to the referee, just want you to go and check that again.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that. That's where they made a mistake. Now, see, if it was me, it was Hearts in the cup final, extra time, 3-3. I want the penalty. I do want the penalty.
Yep.
But I also see from the other side that you could argue the referee blew for the first infringement, which was a swipe from Scales.
But if what Des and Stephen are saying is right, and if it's one continuous foul, then it should have been a penalty, surely.
That's my point. So it depends on what side of the fence you sit on. Whereas I'm a neutral, I think it's a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching.
Well, given the explanation that we've just heard there, I think it's clear that it should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
I don't think. Yeah, there's any doubt about that.
They've got that wrong. But then again, you look at it. Do you remember the game Southampton versus Liverpool? There was Andy Robertson just a couple of weeks ago, challenge on the line.
Right.
And VAR looked at it. Referee had given a free kick, and then he gave the penalty because the VAR went, it's on the line.
Yeah.
So it's very similar. So why VAR didn't get involved was beyond me. It's crazy. That's what they're there for.
Philly Clement asked the media to get involved in this and find out why they didn't get involved. Why do you think that is?
Well, we all make mistakes. We make mistakes on the show every single week. There was an error made. That's it. There's nothing more to it. An error was made. There was a couple errors made by John Beaton yesterday. But we all make mistakes. You can't be perfect. Nobody's perfect. People watching the game, people playing in the game, people at their own work, aren't they perfect? You can't expect a referee and everybody to be perfect.
There's no other explanation other than it was just a mistake.
If I'm the SFA, right, and who's the boy that's in charge, will they call them? I'd be putting a statement out today, say, do you know what, guys, we got that one wrong. They just have to hold a hand up and just say, we got that one wrong. And listen, it's not going to change anything.
Yep.
And it's just going to wind the Rangers fans up even more. But we can all see that the VAR officials got it wrong. And I think Willie Collum needs to put his hand up and go, sorry, guys.
Okay, fair enough. Right, let's move on to other VAR decisions. So a couple of penalties in the Hibs match. I don't think there's any sort of
pools or definite pools or penalties every day of the week.
Yeah, really stupid.
Stupid.
Especially defending.
That first one.
Yeah.
On Dwight Gayle, what are you thinking?
Also, St Johnstone, St Mirren, penalty given for Jason Holt's handball.
Aye. Yeah. Well, is that the one with the elbow? No,
it hit the shot and he turned his back and hit the back of his arm.
Yeah. See, that's the one I'm going. The shot was on target and he's turned his back to it and it's hit the back of his arm, like above his elbow.
I think it's a penalty. I think it's really unlucky, but I think it's a penalty. And then obviously it was retaken. Josh Ray jumped off his line.
Yeah, he did.
Stupid. Kilmarnock Hearts, no problems with the penalty. So I thought it was a penalty.
I had an issue with it.
Well, you would do because you're a Hearts fan. But
it's also my boy.
James Penrose. I thought it was clumsy. I thought it was a penalty.
See, I don't even think James makes any contact with the boy. I think the boy's a bit theatrical. I think the boy's a bit theatrical.
You're only saying that because he's your boy. And then obviously Robbie Dee's yellow card was upgraded to a red.
100%. I mean, Vargas is lucky. Yeah. Very lucky he's not injured.
Motherwell Dundee United, penalty given for Liam Gordon's challenge and Louis Moult for United's first goal.
Yeah.
Stevenson, potential foul on the edge of the box for a penalty just before half time again.
Close, but
kind of same as we're talking about there. So, it was a busy weekend for VAR WTF. You can have your say, obviously, at Big Football Scott. You can leave your comments on the YouTube video as well. But this is the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Told you.
With Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
How smoothly this show's going.
Oh, it's going great, mate.
It's going great. We don't even need producer John and his big shite bag behaviour. Right, time for overrated, underrated. So, last week, listener, it's you in, nominated music being used for goal celebrations. Mark says, when it comes to goal celebration music, it depends on the song. Go West plays at Dortmund and it's epic, but others not so much. Spanky says, overrated, underrated is a hard one. If it's a pish song and it's played every goal, then of course it's overrated. Meanwhile, if it's in rotation with, say, really five good songs, 90s dance, heavy rock, then of course it's underrated. Mike Bannerman says, goal celebration music, I find it almost crazy. When I hear it, it's like Quint running his fingernails on the blackboard in Jaws. Andy says, I'm very old school, I guess, and I always feel that it should be the crowd that drives the noise and excitement levels. Shouldn't need gimmicks if the product is good.
Good point.
Maybe music might be needed after all, though.
Good point. It's a good point he's made there, though. It's about the crowd and the atmosphere. You don't need music to generate that, surely.
Derek says, genuinely don't know how to answer this. I personally hate it, but does that make it overrated when I don't rate it anyway?
It does make it overrated.
Derek's
if you don't
getting
know.
All philosophical on us.
I've got one for you.
Right. Well, save it for what, like an actual overrated, underrated, or to do with the music ones.
Oh no, we need to get the result, don't we?
We need to get the result, and it's going to be very slick this week because got the drum roll.
Yeah, but you talked over it.
62%.
You talked over the drum roll.
62% say it is not overrated.
You like it?
Yeah. So people like the goal music.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's interesting.
I would like to nominate.
Okay.
For this week, based on what we saw yesterday at the cup final, and we've discussed it in great length over the couple of years we've been doing this podcast. Pyro. It needs to go.
No pyro, no party.
It needs to go. It's overrated. See what happened yesterday. What was the previous game before that? It was like delayed for like 10 minutes.
No pyro, no party.
No pyro, no party. It has to go, mate. It has to go. It has to go.
I don't know.
But what was the game where the players were stood about for 10 minutes?
It was both semi-finals.
Both semi-finals, aye. Oh, that's right, the semi-finals,
and it was fine
yesterday
because it was windy and it blew everything away, but
it has to go. I'm sorry, it has to go because it... The players are ready to go.
How come?
I'm ready. I'm on the edge of my seat.
How come, Ewan Cameron?
I was a fan of pyro.
When you look at Galatasaray and everyone's like, oh my God, it's amazing.
Steven.
Look at the pyro. It looks in Greece and Italy and all the rest of it. Everyone's Germany. Like, oh, it looks amazing. Oh my God, it looks amazing. And then, oh, but we can't have it here.
I'm not, Steven, Steven.
Would someone think of the children?
Steven, I was a fan of pyro. But the last few times that we've had pyro, and in the Aberdeen game versus Celtic at Pittodrie.
How come clubs and other, like, you know, the Scottish national team and rugby and all that, how come they're allowed to have pyro on the pitch, but you're not allowed to have pyro in the stands?
Because it's controlled. It's controlled, right?
So why don't
you're under a roof,
so
the smoke is going to go up on the roof and then it's going to cascade from under the roof onto the pitch.
So why don't they control it in the stands as well and have controlled pyro?
What? How can you control pyro in the stand when you've got a roof above you? Because it's always going to go up to the roof. The smoke rises.
That's not, it didn't do that yesterday.
Well, it did because it cascaded. It went up to the roof and then cascaded. Had nowhere else to go and then just fucking went on the pitch.
No, it blew away in about, it took like 3 minutes to blow away. What's the problem?
But Stephen, it's happened more often than not now. It never used to happen, but now we're getting it to the point where the games are being affected because of pyro. That's my point. So I think...
How come other countries managed to do it and it's fine?
Right, Stephen, I don't give a shit about other countries. We're talking about our game in Scotland,
yeah,
right?
But if you're saying you were a fan of pyro and you thought it looks great and all the rest of it...
I was. Well, I've changed my mind. Am I not allowed to change my mind?
You're perfectly allowed to change your mind.
Thanks.
But what I'm saying is, if other countries can manage it and do it properly and do it in a safe manner, then why can't we do it safely here?
Well, we need to find a way to do it then, because at the moment it's just fans.
But that's what I've just suggested.
Willy-nilly letting shit off.
I've just suggested that. I just said if there's a safe way to do it, then why don't we do it?
Right. Up until that point, no pyro.
No.
So that's what I'm going. Okay. Underrated pyro in stadiums.
Okay. Underrated, overrated. You can decide. Pyro. Overrated, underrated. It is at Big Football Scott. That is our Twitter feed. You can follow us there. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram as well. And hopefully you're viewing us on YouTube as well. Because producer John isn't here, everything's a wee bit up in the air in terms of the cameras and
strange
all
that. Look.
It's a strange look for us.
Strange feel.
Because producer John's a massive shitebag, because Falker got beat the weekend and he had to pretend that his daughter was unwell so that he couldn't come in today. It's a wee bit all over the place. So hopefully
I heard a rumour.
Hopefully you can watch us on YouTube.
I heard a rumour to make sure his daughter didn't go to school today, so he didn't have to face you. He held his daughter's face under a lamp,
like an ET.
Like an ET. Do you remember they're pretending to be ill and have a temperature?
I've not seen ET in many years, but
do you remember that moment?
Yeah,
that moment. So that would he'd have a temperature, and the mum would go, "Oh, you stay at school. You stay off school." But I heard that John's daughter wanted to go to school, but John's like, no, you're ill.
No, there's some money. Put your head under a lamp. Cough. Could do like that. Oh, she's no well. I need to stay home.
Stay home. Then why face the music?
Yeah, exactly.
That is shite bag behaviour, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think of the amount of shite that we've had.
The dancing
around
the studio.
I know, exactly.
All season.
The dancing around the studio, and also how gashed Dunfermline have been this season. How pish Hearts have been this season. Have we turned, like, failed to turn up after a bad... Fair enough, I've been on holiday a few times. But, you know, that's been...
You faced the music.
I've faced the music like a man.
Yeah, so have I.
And so have you.
So have you. And every time that John does his dance from the studio, he always has a dig at Dunfermline, doesn't he?
Exactly.
Every single time.
Exactly.
Reminding you how many points behind you are.
Let's phone him. I'm going to phone this.
Are you going to phone him?
Aye. Because I want to slag him off, basically.
He won't pick up.
If he doesn't pick up, he's a massive shitebag.
He's not going to pick up.
A massive shitebag. Right, let's phone him. Let's hope he answers.
Right, he'll be nursing his daughter.
Oh, putting her head under the lamp.
Hello.
Hello, you big shitebag. How are you?
Why you call me a shitebag?
Because Falker get pumped at the weekend and you coincidentally take the podcast off. Shitebag.
My daughter is ill, Stephen. I'm being a good dad.
You're holding her head under a lamp like an ET to fake a temperature, and you've decided that because Falker, your bottle's crashed, John. That's what's happened.
This absolute nonsense. We were down to 10 men for most of the match.
Oh, like Kilmarnock were yesterday. How did Kilmarnock get on yesterday, John, when they were down to 10 men for most of the... Did they concede 5 goals against Hearts?
Hold on. This seems like deflection tactics from you, Stephen. How did Dunfermline get on at the weekend?
We've covered that, John. We've covered that at length.
Have you covered that?
Covered that at length. So you don't need to worry about that, John. We're talking about Falkirk. Your team, Falkirk. Now, if you were here, actually, in the studio today, obviously, we could have asked you about it, but you're a big shitebag, and you've decided to stay off today.
I'm coming in. I'm coming in about a couple of hours' time once I can get childcare.
Typical. Exactly. Just missed the bit where you have to do the podcast, John.
Listen, let's talk about Falkirk. Let's talk about the ridiculous sending off and the fact that the club are appealing the sending off after George Oakley took Luke Graham's hand, threw it towards the ball, which then knocked it out of play.
I mean, that's not what happened, John.
It is what happened.
That is not what happened.
We'll find out what the appeal says.
It was blatant cheating on Luke Graham's part. And he's obviously made a split-second decision to think, oh, we've got no chance of winning the league unless we try and bend the rules. It's you know, he punched the ball out. It's a clear red card, John. If you punch the ball, if you punch the ball, it's a clear red card.
Explain to me, Stephen, why would the defender who's the right side of George Oakley suddenly then think, oh, do you know what I'll do? I will just hammer the ball out with my hand.
Because he's a big cheating bastard, that's why. A big cheating bastard, John.
Nonsense.
A big cheating bastard,
you,
that's what he is.
What are you laughing at, Ewan? What are you laughing
at? He is. John, I know I slag you off on a weekly basis for not knowing anything about football, but it's called football, John. You're not allowed to handle the ball. That's the clue's in the name.
The Amazon man's here at the door.
Hold on. He's getting a delivery. That's what it is.
You don't really care about your daughter if you're speaking to us and you're getting an Amazon delivery.
Right.
Do you know what that is? That's what it is. He's been waiting. He couldn't be here because he's got an Amazon delivery.
That's what it is. Shy bag.
Absolute nonsense. He's a total nonsense.
Shut up there. We need to do this anyway, so here we go.
Oh, he knows the answer.
He knows the answer, exactly. Oh, right. So, we need to ask another question on this.
The mass footballer.
Which Falkirk player has John lined up for the mass footballer? Or which person on Super Scoreboard is it this week? So, we know that they're not playing in the Premiership. It's not a woman. They haven't played in the Champions League, but they have been capped for Scotland. Last week, we found out they don't play in the Scottish Championship. And we also know they haven't played for Dunfermline or West Brom because you thought it was Graham Dorans, like a big spoonhead.
Well, you agreed with it, so don't fucking start on me, you prick.
Right, okay. You got another question. What was the question we were going to ask? We did have a question.
It was a good question.
It was a good question.
But it was your question.
Aye, I can't imagine what it was, though.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Nobody asked you, John. You just need to say yes or no. All right? You're in the back. Like,
you're in the back books like the cat.
Exactly. You don't know what's happened with the cat. You'll find out when you get sent the recording to edit a wee bit later on.
Right.
But basically, me and my cat have fallen out, and you're on the fucking shit list as well, mate. So. Big shy bag. Right, anyway. What are we going to go for? I don't know what to go for. You got any clues for us, John? Give us a clue.
No, why don't we just go lower league football?
Are you playing in lower league football?
Because they're not in the Premiership.
And they don't play in the Championship either.
So, but it could be League One, League Two.
Right, so do we ask that?
And then that just rules out Scottish football completely, then we've got to look elsewhere under the globe.
Okay, right, go for the question then. On you go.
Yeah, but you're not going to blame me if it's no right.
Right, go.
You're not blaming me.
No,
you're happy with this question?
Yeah, happy. Yeah.
Okay, John, my question for the mass footballer, does this player play in League One or League Two of Scottish football?
Hit the no button, Stephen.
No.
What a stupid fucking question that is, John. Right. We're never going to get this.
I just want to leave the building now.
So they don't play in Scottish football?
But they've had a Scotland cap.
Yeah, they've been capped for Scotland.
And we also know they're still playing football.
Yeah.
You know, he's not asked that question.
Right, so he's not. So
we've managed
to get that out of John there, so he's clearly retired.
Yeah.
He's clearly retired.
Like, thanks for that, John.
Thanks for that, John. Thank you.
God, he is shite, isn't he?
He is really shite.
Can I go now?
What did you get from Amazon?
Aye, what did you get?
It was I've just looked, it's my perfect draft delivery for my beer for Christmas.
So you've taken the day off to sit and get beer?
I'm going to prove this. Ailey, this is my daughter.
Don't get your daughter on. You've already paid her off.
Hold on. No swearing because we've got a child here. Hold on. Ailey, speak to the boys. Tell them how ill you are.
Who's that?
It's Stephen and Ewan.
I'm not well.
How much has your dad paid you to say that, Ailey?
Zero money.
What has he promised you for Christmas?
He is really tight. He is really tight, to be fair. So, listen, Ailey, you get better soon. And put your dad back on.
They feel bad now, don't they?
Put your dad back on. Is it off loudspeaker?
Yeah, it's off loudspeaker now.
You're a big shy bag, go away. Right, bye. Right, producer John's gone, which means we need a new quiz host. Yay! Which is Gary Spence, and he's just walked into the studio just
Gary
now.
Gary Spence!
You alright?
Has he got the questions?
Yep, he's got the questions for the quiz, so let's do this, shall we?
Good Morning Britain.
Right, okay.
He's not on camera though.
Oh, there's a camera. There's a camera there. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Sorry, I'm on my phone. I thought our setup during the week was Tim Pop. But
because John's a massive shite bag. Because Falk will get pumped to the weekend. Not that you'd know that, but you know, like.
I was going to ask what happened with Wraith Rovers and Dunfermline, actually.
Oh, don't, mate. Don't start again. Fuck. I've just been through that. Don't do it.
They got beat.
They got beat 2-0.
Dunfermline got beat.
Yeah. Did you hear about the cat?
No, but we were on air on Friday. And no. I'm like, but why is it always about Falkirk? Like, Wraith Rovers. And he's like, it's just we Wraith Rovers. And they beat you.
Aye, they did.
What a nightmare.
Did he tell you about the cat the weekend?
No, he doesn't know about the cat.
You'll find out about that during drive.
Your cat?
Yes.
So listen, I have enough cat chat in my own life with my cats. If I don't care about my cats, I'm not going to care about yours.
No. You will go, yes, that's because cats are arseholes. That's what you'll say.
Well, they are arseholes.
Yeah, what is it? Dogs will always, doesn't matter how bad your day has been. Correct. I love your dog.
My dog.
Harley?
I love it.
Doesn't matter how bad a day you have.
Correct.
How awful things are. That dog will always be delighted to see it.
It'll bounce up to the door.
Cats are pricks and will look at you like you should be happy to see it.
Yeah. Well, and it would stab you in the back as quick as look at you.
Yeah, exactly. Right, shoot out a quiz. It's 5 questions.
So who did the questions?
I think me.
Wasn't Gary Spencer did it.
It certainly wasn't, I don't think.
Who sent you the questions?
Producer John.
Oh, did he send you them? Okay.
Yeah, they call it remote working. Wouldn't have happened in 2019. That's what I'm saying. Right. Question number one.
I'm trying to get a pen.
I've got a pen.
How was your weekend?
It was a great weekend. How was yours, mate?
Absolutely a penalty, wasn't it?
For Rangers?
Yeah.
I thought it was a penalty.
By the way,
you're not even knowing about football. What are you talking about?
This is a good topic, right? This is a good thing to talk about one day. What's the worst scenario in which you've ever watched a game? Because this happened to me. I think it was the Scottish Cup final like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, Stephen, I'm at the science centre and my finger is burning because I'm going like that at penalties. I was doing the same in a restaurant last night.
Yeah, exactly.
Me and Charlie Spence were sitting there and I'm just like, hold on, flip.
So you're in a restaurant, you weren't even watching the game?
I couldn't because this is like Glasgow.
So Spence has this thing where he just misses big football matches, basically.
Which you can't accuse me for turning up for the big games.
No, you don't, because you never do. But the Scottish Cup final, you were like, Glasgow Live are not updating quick enough. I was like, why are you following the football on Glasgow Live? Like, there are various other websites. And then for the Scotland-Serbia game, you were at Glasgow, like, you know, the big Scotland-Serbia game
to get to European Championships
months before. And I was sitting in the car afterwards and Ruth was like, this sounds like one even you'd have been in 2 power.
Yes.
Oh, right, 5 questions. You got stuff to write them down and all the rest.
I'm ready, that's fine.
Gary Spence is ready.
Question. Wraith Rovers won after we talked about it.
Question number one.
Oh yeah, I was waiting for it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Have you got the top bin question and tiebreak questions and everything?
Don't you worry about it. Listen, you do you. All right.
But I'm just making sure you're all right.
I'm absolutely fine. Name any SPFL side with City in their title.
Okay, fairly straightforward.
Do we do all the questions first?
What do you mean you do all the questions?
No, you do one at a time, mate. We write down the answer.
Give me the answer before we move on?
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean, right. But yes.
I think everyone knew what I meant.
No, we didn't. I'm going. Are you done, Stephen?
Yeah.
This was an education for me, right? Which won't shock you, but why is it called the SPFL when I thought P stands for Premier?
It's professional.
Right, okay.
Scottish Professional
they
Football
emerged
League.
In like 2013 or something like that.
Right, okay. That's
how long is it taking you right down the sand, sir?
No, I'm trying to. My pen's knackered. I'm trying to get another pen. I mean, you can basically make out, right? You can go first.
Edinburgh City.
I have also gone for Edinburgh City. That is my
answer.
You
could have gone for Edinburgh City. You could also have gone for
Brechin.
No, Brechin are in the SPFL. What other city has it? Elgin City. Yes. So I guess we're right with that. Oh no, sorry.
This is what annoys me about ScotRail's inter-city service, which incorporates the number 7, because there are more than 7 cities, and they actually cover that on the Inverness to Aberdeen route.
So Elgin is a city?
It's not a city.
It's got spires on its cathedral. So yeah, it's a proper city, as opposed to Dunfermline haven't had much luck for the last 20 years. Let's make them a city.
Question 2. Let's get on with it. 1-1.
Who is currently the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership? Oh, slick. It's like millionaire.
I mean, compared with John, it's slick.
Go on, don't give that question again, mate.
Who is currently the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership?
I don't know.
Is it? Well, you ought to, because it's a football question on a football show. You're bad.
All I've got is, and I'm really sorry, I've only got a green highlighter pen, or a sort of luminous.
Have you got nothing from me, Ian?
No. How long have I got?
It's worth a guess.
You've got about 20 seconds.
Write something down.
Please write something
down. I've already written
something down. Basil Boley or something. Write anything
Basil
down.
Who?
Basil Boley.
Rangers, 1993. I'm not a Rangers. I'm not a Rangers fan. I'm just. You gotta. I've managed to conduct my whole career not being on the radar of anyone that's going to hassle me every day for having an opinion, which is actually not swayed by anything to do with any football colours whatsoever.
I'm taking a clip of this and I'm going to post it on social media.
Right. Got your answer?
I've not got a clue on this. Have you?
I've got it. Well, what's your answer?
I'm going for Kyogo.
You went for Kyogo. I've gone for Dessers.
You're both wrong. Oh. It's Sam Dalby.
Oh, so it would be.
It's annoying.
Dundee United. So
right.
It is.
Remains 1-1. Question number three, please.
Who were the last non-Old Firm team to win the League Cup? Is this where I'm going to get shit for saying Old Firm as well? Because my brother-in-law, like her family are all
Celtic. Don't start that.
So he'd be like, I think you'll find there's no such
thing. What you've done is drawn attention to it there, Gary, so okay. We just usually move on.
Which team, other than Rangers or Celtic,
were the last team to win the League Cup? A good question, I would say. A good question. Who was it?
How long is this podcast, by the way? It feels like you've been in here for hours.
Shut up.
In my studio.
What is your problem?
It's my studio.
Are you meant to be in here?
Yes.
Oh.
We've only been recording for an hour and a half, so it's fine. I think it's this.
So do I.
I would go into the greatest hits radio studio, but of course, Stephen, it smells of old cushions and pish.
Yeah, exactly. It smells of old people.
Like every care home.
Exactly.
Right, I'm ready.
Right, okay, that's
fine. Question three, it's 1-1.
Okay, on you go, Ewan.
St Johnstone.
I've also gone for St Johnstone.
You are both right.
Woohoo! Right, 2-2. Question number four. We've still not taken our top bin questions yet, so.
I'm not taking top bin. Okay. That.
Even I knew the answer to this one because of my frantic scrolling. Question number four is, how many penalties were taken in yesterday's League Cup final?
You got an answer?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't.
So far.
Right, good. And now I can stop you from changing your answer. I don't know how you possibly came up with that answer. I don't know how you could have assumed that this would happen in any game ever.
Right, okay.
Go.
Well, actually, it would if they missed the first three. But anyway.
You go first.
Nine.
Ten.
Yes, ten.
Ten is
no, it was nine.
No, ten were taken.
Nine
no, were
you
scored.
Said scored.
I absolutely did.
No, he said taken.
No, I'm not having that.
It's not 1996.
Off.
People can rewind it.
No. Read that question again.
You said how many penalties were you're.
You're wasting everybody's time here, and I'm waiting
to
do some
stuff on my
show. No,
I'm not wasting any fucking time. You tell me what that question was. You said scored.
How many penalties were taken in yesterday's League Cup final? I almost don't want to dignify you with a response.
So I'm leading down to the final question now. So you either have to go for a top bin question or hope I get it wrong and you get it right, then we go to a tiebreaker. What are you doing?
There's nothing
you
worse
know,
than
you
being
know
wrong.
You've screwed it for
yeah,
yourself.
No, he has.
Shut up. I'm just giving the normal question. Hopefully, he gets
just
it wrong.
Just give me my studio back.
Right, okay, final question. Let's go.
Right. Prior to Stuart Kettlewell, who was the Motherwell manager?
Oh,
I've won.
You've won. I know you've won because I've got it as well. And I can't believe I didn't listen to you properly for the hat penalty question.
Oh, conceded though. That didn't take as long as I thought it would.
Oh, shut up.
Right, you got
you get your sugar back.
You never know, I might get this wrong.
You've got
here.
It right.
He'll
download
this wrong.
Later just to double check
it. I will double check it.
You're bloody right, I will.
Right, okay. So my answer is Stevie Hamill.
My answer, Stevie Hamill. I fucking lost the quiz again.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I right. Don't think you read that question properly.
I don't think the greatest hits radio audience get this sort of chat in the morning.
Absolutely do not.
The fury in between Kajagoogoo and Lulu.
Not when Ewan's using these speaking to old people voice. I hope you're.
You
hope
do
you're
have a voice that, yeah.
Hope you're having a lovely morning out there.
God almighty, listen to you two muppets.
They are.
Make sure you get the heating on. There's a chill in there.
Three bars today.
By the way,
we play not just the hits, but the greatest
the
hits.
The greatest hits. All
not
over
too loud now, Mandy.
Right. Yeah, hey,
good.
Right, bye.
Put my room back.
Right, bye, Ewan. Nice doing a podcast with you. Ah, there we go. Right, okay. Thank you very much for a slightly different Big Scottish Football podcast today. Get in touch for overrated, underrated, at Big Football Scott. You can have your say on pyro. Pyro, no party. You want to say anything about pyro?
No, just get out of my studio.
I've got about 30 seconds to fill here. So, yeah, we'll be back next week. And remember, you can get in touch anytime. You can leave your comments on our YouTube channel. And yeah, apologies for producer John being a big, massive shite bag and not turning up just because Falkirk got absolutely pumped at the weekend. So,
What about
Dunfermline
though?
Yeah, shut up, go away. Right, you're not part of the podcast. You were just here for the quiz. All right. So, anyway, at Big Football Scott, leave your comments on YouTube. Enjoy the rest of the week. We're back next Monday for another Big Scottish Football podcast. Bye bye.